I want to talk to you today about long suffering. That's as plain as I write. After that, I go to other tongues. Long suffering. We've been talking about love, the new commandment of love in John chapter 13. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. Now, we're going to follow his example of love. We're going to love like he did. So it would behoove us to know how he walked in love, what he did, how he responded to love, because we're going to copy him. He's going to be our example. Ephesians says, be imitators or followers of God and walk in love. So if we're going to imitate him in love, it would help us to know exactly how love would act, how love would respond, what love would say, so that we come to a point, and love is a choice that you make. The word agape is deliberate assent of the will. There are a number of kinds of love. The Greek language is very specific. Sexual love is called Venus. Being in love would be Eros. Brotherly love and friendship and emotional ties would be Phileo. And then agape is God's love, and it's always a love of choice. It's you've decided to follow. You've decided to do as God has instructed us. Well, we have in the Old Covenant a multitude of laws and ordinances. We capsulize them in the Ten Commandments, and yet the Ten Commandments are explained in many, many other chapters, giving us some peripheral information, some practical applications of those Ten Commandments. But when we get over to the New Commandment, we have only the One Commandment. And the One Commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is all sums up every other commandment. It's the only commandment we have. Isn't that good news? Just one. And we have that in Romans 13, again in Galatians 5. We covered that last week. I'll just review that for you. That we only have one commandment. It sums up, comprehends all the other commandments. Well, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie about it. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with their husband or with their wife. And so this new commandment, love one another, is comprehensive. It includes all things. Now, last week we said the love of God is not selective. God so loved the world. You know, we're selective somewhat. But when we're selecting, we're not walking in God's love. God's love is not selective. God's love, he said he loved the ungodly. He loved the unrighteous. He loved the weak. He loved the sinner. He loved those who had turned and gone astray. God's love is big, big, big. It's broad. It's comprehensive. The scope of it includes all men. He tells us in the scripture to love all men. He tells us to love the brethren. He tells us to love our neighbor. He tells us to love one another. And he tells us to love our enemy, giving us the same broadness, the same comprehension that Almighty God has. Well, the only way we're going to be able to do that is because the love of God is shed abroad or poured into our heart. When you were born again, you became a new creature with a new nature, and that new nature has within it the very love of God. Now, the love of God is a seed. It has to grow. It has to be fed. And if we don't practice love, make some loving decisions, then that love won't grow. But as we make loving decisions, in other words, we're going to do some things that our flesh and our emotions would not want to do, because we're going to choose love. We're going to choose to do what God did. So it would behoove us to find out, what did he do? How did he handle some things? Well, we're going to cover this one area of God's love, and it's long-suffering. If you look at chapter 34, verse 6, I like this. The Lord passed by and proclaimed. This is what God said about himself. The Lord, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. No means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. Do you see in verse 6, he called himself long-suffering? The Lord God, long-suffering. Now, this is the second time that Moses went to get the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. The first time he got the Ten Commandments, he came down from the mountain, found the people worshiping the golden calf, dropped the Ten Commandments. Can't tell from the scripture if he dropped them or if he threw them down. But anyway, they were cracked into pieces. And so now God is bringing him back to the mountain. He's going to rewrite on tablets of stone those same Ten Commandments. And when he begins to rewrite, when Moses appears, he says, the Lord God, long-suffering. This is why he's writing them again. This is why he's given them another chance, because of his long-suffering nature. Now, often in the scripture, particularly in the King James, it intertwines the word patience and long-suffering. But they're not the same thing. To be patient, and we're not talking about patience today. Don't tie this into patience, even though your Bible will say patient. Long-suffering is to be slow to wrath, slow to anger, slow to retaliate, slow to punish. It's really to hang in there, to bring some goodness and some mercy to bear in the situation when really you'd like to stomp them out.